build your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. Remember, there's a good start to the new year. I've just been reading about the history of Polynesia in the Pacific. Apparently, the Maori people of the Polynesian islands don't look forward into an unknown future, as we are inclined to do. They look back. Actually, they look at the past, at the doings of their gods and ancestors, as if it were still to come. Maoris refer to the past as the days in front. One commentator has called this walking backwards into the future. Remember Moses and all the signs and portents which the Lord sent him to show to Pharaoh. Remember Moses and all the awesome deeds that he did. Remember. It's what we do in here each week. We always hear a story from the past. We always look back to Jesus, to the prophets, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. Remember, especially on Communion Sunday, remember. It's a bit strange when you think about it. The world around doesn't do so much of that. Oh, there's plenty of history, plenty of nostalgia for the glory days of empire, the days of youth, the days when England was a green and pleasant land, free of foreigners and EU regulations. But it is all really so kind of unrealistic, so rose-spectacled. We like the good bits, but we are inclined to ignore the inconvenient truths. If we just got rid of the name Colston, or Cecil Rhodes, a statue outside an Oxford college, well, because we're so much more enlightened now. If only we could get rid of those unfortunate parts of history, the future would be fine. That's the thing. For our world, it is the future that counts. It is going to be wonderful in the future. There's going to be unfettered trade with the rest of the world. There's going to be a wall between the United States and Mexico, a beautiful wall. There is going to be a Middle Eastern peace deal. There is going to be a promised land. The Israelites wandered in Sinai for 40 years, according to the story, sustained by the dream of a promised land in the future. As Martin Luther King said back in the 1960s, channeling the spirit of Moses, God has allowed me to go up a mountain, and I've looked over, and I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we, as a people, will get to the promised land. Looking forward to the promised land, an end to segregation in the United States, years later an end to apartheid in South Africa, years before the founding of the NHS. Those are the kinds of vision that have driven our times. We have looked forward and we have moved forward into the future of the church, the nation, the world. Because the future is always better than the past, don't you think? Things can only get better. The future belongs to us. Pour scorn on yesterday's leaders. They were the future once. But that's not really a Christian vision. The Christian vision of the future is distinctly mixed. In the future, God is with us, wiping away every tear. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. There will be the promised land of God's kingdom. Yes, but only through great destruction, judgment, every secret made known, no stone left on another, the wilderness. That's the kind of language the Bible uses about getting to the future. God's kingdom, but on the way, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Sheep and goats divided and separated by righteousness and truth. Truth, justice, and peace for all eternity, but the cost of truth is high. The scales of justice are weighty. The price of peace is beyond measure. That's the Bible's vision of the future. It's not the world's vision of the future, which is either sunlit uplands or else doomsday darkness, alien invasion, totalitarian nightmares. The Bible's vision of the future is the future of God. And the Christian vision, well, maybe it's a little bit like the Maori approach to the world, walking backwards into the future, see? Or Look Back in Hope, the title of a book I read recently by someone known to us. Remember Moses and all his awesome deeds, how he led Israel out of captivity, how he struck water from the rock. Remember the tablets of stone. There has never been anyone like Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. Yes. Remember also that he put the Lord his God to the test. Remember that he was reluctant to go to Egypt. Remember that he saw the promised land, but wasn't allowed to enter into it because he had sinned in the eyes of the Lord. Remember. The Bible remembers. The Bible remembers the waywardness of the people who wandered around in the desert for 40 years. The Christian vision remembers that Moses was human, that the people were frail, that they worshipped idols. Think of what you were when you were called, to use the words of Paul. In your rush towards the unknown, imagined glorious future, the promised land, remember. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to use Isaiah's words. Remember. And when they came to Jesus to ask him for a sign, he showed them what real remembering looked like. Not just looking back with nostalgia to the glory days of Moses, but remembering Moses so as to see God at work in the world now. Remember. It's what we'll all be doing in a few moments when we take the bread and wine. Do this in memory of me, said Jesus. Not so that we might imagine ourselves back into some long-lost religious glory land, but so that we might remember who we are, sinners, frail, in constant need of God's help, and so that we might remember who God is, who was in Christ coming to us, the bread of heaven, the bread of life, manna in our wilderness. Whose signs and wonders, whose mighty deeds, whose death on the cross, whose rising again, brought life into the world. Remember, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Remember. The hymn number 327, All My Hope on God Is Founded.